Blog Talk Radio.
Ladies and gentlemen, we welcome everybody back to Astro Mind 2012. Let's give a warm welcome to Adrian. Are you there?
Hey, we're here tonight.
Wonderful. And what's on the agenda for tonight, Adrian?
Well, I'd like to talk a little bit about the quantum physics movie.
Yeah, why don't you tell our callers and listeners about that, Adrian?
Well, I thought it was a really powerful movie, What the Bleep Do We Know? And but by quantum physics, and it's kind of interesting how they talk about down the rabbit hole, how, you know, how we're able to bring things into manifestation by our perception, and how we're able to change the reality around us into whatever we desire, whatever we see that we want to co-create. Is there anything that you want to share about that, Roy?
You know, this is interesting because earlier we were just talking to one of our callers, you know, that from our last show, and we were just talking about this, how, you know, we're able to manifest things. Main thing is, you know, allowing ourselves to go into that vibration, you know, and to be in gratitude, you know, for everything that we, you know, receive from the universe, and to, you know, see ourselves, you know, receiving, you know, whatever, you know, the universe is sending us. Main thing is that, you know, you could either manifest a dollar or you could manifest $1 million. You know, it's our choice. And what are your feelings on that, Aita?
Well, it's very interesting how there are so many different dimensions that are coming out right now, and the sightings that we've been seeing. And this goes back to, you know, quantum physics and science and spirituality. You know, how you were saying about the government where they caught this mermaid. Do you care to share more about that?
Yeah, it's interesting. I was talking to one of my coworkers on my part-time job that I do, and she was telling me that, you know, do you believe in mermaids? And I go, yeah. You know, I do. I believe that, you know, they're, you know, are mermaids, and, you know, and it's not just a something, you know, made up, that they are real. And she goes, but she told me that her son had got some information that the government, you know, had caught a mermaid and they were experimenting with it. And, you know, and I thought that was sort of sad, you know. I guess this mermaid even, I don't know if they put her under a lot of stress or what, but it was causing her to lose her hair. And what do you get from that, Aita?
Well, the interesting part about that is I think that they put out a certain kind of vibration that a lot of us humans can't handle because they're such at a higher frequency. I think a lot of it goes beyond science and what scientists can figure out, you know, how they're trying to relate it to apes. I was reading about that, looking at the pictures of the mermaid. And they were also saying that the government was hiding the website because they didn't want people to think, you know, they didn't want information to be thrown out, either because they were afraid they were going to scare people, or they just didn't want the information out for their purposes.
That is so interesting. You know, and that's interesting also, you know, people talk about, you know, werewolves, you know, vampires, and now the big talk is zombies. You know, that there's been reports of, you know, people, you know, having their face bit off, or chewed off, or whatever, and I thought that was interesting, but there's been like three or four other cases now, where people have reported eating body parts, you know, from other people after they murdered them.
Mm-hmm.
What do you get from that, Agent?
Well, I think that a lot of it is, you know, there could be reincarnation of zombies and vampires, and the dark side is just coming out as much as the light is. I think that we're starting to merge into these realities because it's starting to open up people's awareness, and I think that's part of all part of that shift of consciousness that we all keep talking about. So we're going to start seeing a lot more events like that, you know, the dark side and the light side and the neutral side, and they're all going to just come in and merge in together. And I think those portals are starting to become more thinner. That's just my thought on it.
I just wanted to have you share that story that you told me a while back where you woke up in the middle of the night and you heard some horses, and it sounded like a carriage or something going down the road.
I think at that time when I was asleep, I sort of projected myself in another timeline,
mm-hmm.
another dimension. I wouldn't call it astral projection, but I would call it lucid dreaming. But I was actually physically there in that dimension. I think we can pull ourselves into that dimension, not just bring the dreams out into this dimension, but pull ourselves in that dimension. And everything may seem just normal to you, you know, but you're actually in that dimension physically.
Wow.
And I think I was in between dimensions. I think I was at that time, because we know in hypnosis that we're, you know, that the mind can take you in different places, different parts of the brain. And I think that when I saw the vampires coming after me, and then I knew that vampires do exist. I do know that they do exist, but they're in another timeline, a different dimension. And they can go in any dimension they want.
Adrian, I wanna invite Angel on with us and have her, you know, get her feelings on what we've been talking about. We're going to go ahead and invite Angel from 313. Angel, are you there?
Yes, I am. Hi, Roy. Hi, Angel.
Hi.
Hello.
Thanks for joining our show tonight.
Absolutely.
And what are your feelings about what we were talking about?
Whether it's
vampires or werewolves or mermaids.
Ultimately, this word that you guys mentioned, the vampire thing, I know that the Red Cross Blue Shield is a very large blood bank that's being sponsored as by the government. You know, they say that their intention is to help people who are low income if they need, you know, blood transfusion, things of that nature. But ultimately, there's been a large conspiracy going on that the Illuminati and the reptilian species thrive off of blood. Like, it makes them feel superior, or it's reserved for, like, the elite class or something of that nature. And they look for healthy blood or certain rare blood types in order to feed off of it. And that there are, like, special units in the hospital that is reserved for, you know, that's under lock and key, and authorized personnel where they can, you know, go there, drink blood or whatnot. And the oddest thing is that when I first bought my home, a gentleman did, like, small work to it, and later he reappeared one day and was just like, oh, I'm part vampire, you know, this and other. And I thought he was kind of off his rocker personally. You know, I didn't really pay much attention to it. My only thought was, okay, I need to get this person away from my home. But he sounded as if he was very sincere. Like, he really believed he was a vampire. And he showed me his neck and where he said someone had bit him, and he actually had a bite mark on his neck that had was severely scarred, and until it had healed and things like that. But he truly believed he was a vampire. So ultimately, there's a site called DavidIcke.com, and you know, I was first introduced to this theory by him, and he exposed me to the idea that, you know, the British Royals, the Illuminati, the reptilian hyperspecies, they live off blood, and that the Red Cross Blue Shield helps support that. And ultimately, like when we go and give blood at the hospital, you know, for certain tests to be done, it only takes a tiny drop for them to discover, do whatever testing needs to be done. However, by the time you leave, you know, they have 6-7 long vials of blood that they've taken from you. You know, so, I don't know. Ultimately, either way, as it relates to that, but I do know that the truth is never blatant, and you always have to dig beneath the surface to discover the reality.
That's interesting. Adrian, what's your feelings on that?
Wow, that's my feelings on that. That goes really deep.
Yeah.
That hit right now on the head.
Yeah.
But I do know that there is no time and space, and that these vampires and werewolves or whatever, they can come in and out of our dimension anytime they want, because those portals, those dimensions are open and they're activating.
I mean, you've would met that people that claim that they're vampires, haven't you, Adrian?
What's that?
I said you've met people that claim that they're vampires?
I have, yeah. I have a friend online I talk with. Her name is Jenny. And she told me she was part of that vampire family that she was going to send to prove to me that she was a vampire.
Wow.
And that was that same night that you had heard that
experience.
That experience, wasn't it?
Mm-hmm. And she told me in a past life we were lovers in France.
So you had a connection with them. Yeah.
I mean, that's a very interesting perspective, because ultimately this gentleman, he spoke from the same perspective where he slept with his other female and they were conceiving a child. And he said the child would be half vampire, half werewolf, because she was a werewolf. And again, I do know that the media, to create something, you must first conceive of it first. And once you conceive of it, then it's therefore been created. Now, they've come up with movies called The Lost Boys and, you know, other blood-sucking movies. And, you know, ultimately, they say that it stemmed from, you know, generations before, and that they can't die, and that ultimately they were run underground to live a secret life, you know, because people were trying to kill them, you know, and it could be some truth to any fallacy, and I do know that most fables and you know, what they call, you know, short tales, that you hear is stories that's being told to children today, part of it was true. You know, and ultimately, it's fucking weird to me, you know, for them to create movies that ultimately hide the truth. But the media is exposed to a wealth of information due to their privileged status in life that the public don't know. And they take those stories and they make movies out of it, you know, and it's ultimately, you know, a Hollywood secret. Just like the the zombies, the Night of the Living Dead, that ultimately was such a horror film, it created nightmares for people for years. And then they end up recreating it in the form of video games, you know, and now you're hearing about it happening everywhere with something that you would only think that could only happen in the movies.
And that's interesting because me and Adrian's talked about this many a times, that anytime Hollywood makes a movie, that they're co-creating a lot of the things that are going on in that movie and what into this reality.
By their focus.
Yeah.
I mean, think about just the movie that they made about The Exorcist. That's a really bad one to co-create, you know?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. What's even more weird, check this one out, right? What's even weirder is the fact that there were her terrible things that happened to each of the cast members that played in that movie. Almost like the movie that was recreated, the Batman movie with the Joker and so forth.
Yeah.
The guy who played the Joker, he died a very heinous death right in the middle of a very lucrative start to his career. You know, it's
right.
Very odd. Like, some of those stories are really cursed.
Well, look what the movie with Bruce Lee. You know, what happened to him.
Oh, yeah, that one is one. Exactly. And his son.
And his, there was a curse put on the family, and then his son died making a movie also.
And, yeah, and that's really creepy. Almost like the royal family, the Kennedys. You know, that stuff is really real. You know,
yeah.
and ultimately there's a lot of secrets that we're not being told, and that's why they're trying to banish the internet, because America for a very long time has been controlling the people, and we're just now figuring that out. But other countries, immigrants would always know. Like, if you had the opportunity to speak to an immigrant that's on an airplane or whatnot, they would let you know things about your own country that you didn't even know. And there's not so much censorship in information in other countries as it is here.
And that's interesting, because I used to work with one of my coworkers, and he did security work, which I did. He spent some time in Germany, and he used to work with the German police department. And they had told him stories about, you know, in their forests, that was not a place that you wanted to go to at nighttime by yourself. Because, you know, there had been some, you know, sightings and people, you know, had experiences with, you know, werewolves being in those forests.
How about the Bigfoot myth? You know, those things are. You know, it's really odd, because there are remote lands in the world that people can't reach. But if you have money, you can fly there in a personal helicopter, or take a small boat there. But there's small islands, you know, forests, woods, things like that. And I've discovered that, you know, some rich people actually have their homes built in the middle of forests. Or underground, you know, like bunkers, and or on mountains, and you know, there's a lot of hidden things that I would love to get access to.
Mm-hmm. That's interesting, Nathan. What are your feelings? Nathan,
are you there?
Yeah.
You're cutting out or something.
No. Oh. And what are your feelings about these, what we've been talking about?
What were you talking about? Some reason it was cutting out.
We were talking about these, you know, werewolf sightings and different stuff. Remember, I was telling you that story about what Mike Gamble had told me about those people seeing werewolves in their forests and stuff. Yeah.
Yeah. I believe I've heard a lot of sightings there about werewolves.
Another story is when Clint, remember, Clint said that he was driving at nighttime and he saw
a
man or part wolf, running alongside his vehicle, and he was doing about 50 miles an hour.
Mm-hmm.
And he was keeping up with them.
Mm-hmm.
So, a lot of the, movies, that Hollywoods are making, they had to get this information from somewhere in order to make these movies.
My point exactly. And the thing is that they're sick-minded, twisted individuals that sit there in their rich castles, bored on drugs, and have conceived of some of the most sickest thoughts. And it was actually one producer, right? And this dude was so out of his mind that he was a serial killer. He would invite girls to his home, and he would murder them a very slow and painful death. And he recreated this movie. He was burying these women in his pond, in his lake, on his land. And while he was doing it, he was actually writing a book about it, and it was turned into a film. And they later found out that he was the one. But my thing is, they got to a conclusion of that. And evidently, more than likely, Hollywood knew he was doing that, but he was making for such a good form of entertainment, and they was making so much money off of it, that they let him go as far as they could until the movie was done and no more money could be made. Then they sent him to jail, exposed what he was doing, and made more money off of it.
Wow.
Did you guys hear about that one?
No. That's interesting.
It is.
But Adrian's done a lot of research on Charles Manson also. You want to share that with her?
Charles Manson?
Yeah.
What did you want me to tell her about her?
Well, I just wanted you to tell her, that he might have been crazy, but he was a very intelligent person.
Yeah, he was. That's one thing I've noticed about him. He's very intelligent.
Not only that, but he knew everything that was going on, with our system, and a lot of us.
That man had to have been intelligent because he was in the middle of takers and movers. He was thriving in Hollywood with other celebrities and very rich people. This man was able to influence people's minds to murder other people and themselves. These people went to jail still chanting his name. I know for a fact that man he couldn't have been crazy, but the government always wants any person crazy when they know that the person is influential. Our leaders have control and can make things happen. Though he made it happen in the wrong way, he was still a leader to have been scared of.
What did Charles Manson say, Adrian, about those murders?
Well, you mean about Ted Bundy?
No. Charles Manson, what did he say? I didn't kill nobody.
Oh, he says, I didn't kill anybody.
But he didn't, though. He really didn't. I mean, the other people killed people, and he just instructed them to kill people. I don't think he should have been held liable for the stupidity of other people. I mean, he just was a man that had a lot of power. And not only that,
he said he had his own system.
What did he say about Ted Bundy?
He said he's a mama's boy.
Oh, God, was he? I would hate for him to be my son.
Because I didn't roll with him.
I don't roll with people like that.
Yeah. Ted Bundy was creepy because, I got a slight fascination with that stuff too. So I know a little bit about these serial killers. Now, Ted Bundy, he was like some type of homosexual cannibal or something. No, he was just a homosexual serial killer. It was someone else who was a cannibal, homosexual cannibal.
That was, who was the one that was killing the ones in his apartment?
Yeah, and ultimately it ended up becoming such a profuse smell that someone called about it, or I think no one ever called about it. I think what happened was a guy escaped, and that's how they found him. But he hated homosexuals, which was weird,
yeah.
But he killed homosexuals and lured them to his apartment. So that was a bit odd, you know. I'm not exactly sure, but, you know, excuse me, you know what really creeps me out is Stephen King. That man
yeah.
is fucking sick. And I wonder, you know, what, I wonder, like, what goes on in his brain to think of the type of things that he do. You know, and it's like, he must be torn in between worlds, because the last good movie that he made that came out, you know, really strong and reached a large population was The Stand. You know, now mind you, for the longest, all of his movies were just like really dark and twisted. And then all of a sudden, he created a movie where it points out that people are being torn and forced to choose, you know, basically what's going on here, like with the books that was written by the authors who wrote, what is that, the series of books that Soul Harvest, Left Behind, that those authors, you know, so he wrote something similar, and well, he depicted something similar in his movie where, you know, the people, it was the end of days, I guess it was the rapture that had taken place, whatever, but ultimately they were supposed to be on teams with either God or Satan, and, you know, to recreate the world for God or to try and destroy a world for Satan. So it was just a really, really weird thing that internally, him to have created that movie, he was battling, you know, conflict of, I guess, what his life had once been while he was in the sick industry and what he was trying to do. But, you know, the things that, almost like Mel Gibson, not to quickly change the subject, but like Mel Gibson, he was like a leader in the movie industry, like a star A type actor. And then he created The Passion of Christ. And I believe that when they get off into spiritualism, they're starting to realize they sold to the devil. Now they're trying to repent and get mercy from God by correcting what they've done. You know, this is my perspective on it. And once he created The Passion of the Christ, he went on to try and do other political movies. But ultimately, he pissed off the fucking Jews. They got really angry about this movie. And he was completely was exposed to being an alcoholic, hating Jews, being a racist, being abusive to his daughter. You know, they tapped in on his phone line and recorded a conversation of him cussing out at his baby girl, and, you know, just really scrutinized him. And he's went, I guess, into hiding now until, you know, is forgiven. But ultimately, like, the Hollywood whackers, that stuff is real and it's true because they usually go in threes, right? Like Michael Jackson and
mm-hmm.
you know, Whitney Houston. And yeah, no, it was a model who had passed. And I believe she had passed from cancer or something. I'm not sure how she died, you know, but ultimately when they get you, they take you out in threes is what they say. And it's just a really, really odd thing that things are much bigger than what you see in the eye. And I guess that's why they feel commoners are not worthy, because to have such a wealth of information, you have to be strong enough to deal with it. And a lot of people is not strong enough to deal with the information that the power and the elitists possess. You know, I mean, I'm sure they like to be over 100 and they're healthy. The common person can't get to that. They have the best of everything because they know the best of information. They have, like, you know, I mean, I don't know if you guys are getting my perspective here, but, you know, ultimately, the shit is, like, much bigger than you and I can even conceive of. And that's how you know that even in the Bible it says that, you know, we can't be as smart as him. We cannot even fathom or conceive of the type of things that he has the power of doing. These elitists are probably hybrid species because some of the things that they're able to do, we can't conceive of. And that's why they don't want us to have the knowledge, because I believe that the power is in the mind. And if you can tap into the mind and be free of additives and artificial color and you know, pesticide, insecticide, metal poisoning, you know, and so forth, drugs and, you know, negative vibes, then you have so much control over your mind that you can create anything into existence. And ultimately, they know that. And that's why they put out states of fear through the media, and they have control over, you know, outlets like that to really affect the people, because if they have enough people thinking in the accord that they want us to think in, then that helps them with their agenda and what they're trying to unfold and unleash. You know, it's like, I think people like us have been given the burden of carrying the weight of the world on our shoulders. We are a selective few that our eyes has been opened, and we are a threat to the elitists because we are harnessing the power that they have. We still don't have it, you know, because I think it takes lifetimes and generations to get to that state of power, but they've had it, you know, since before the beginning of time, you know. I mean, they are born with this information from their hearers. You know, I mean, it's probably under lock and key.
And that's interesting because this does go back all the way to the time of Atlantis. A lot of experiments were going on during that time. And, you know, they were messing with our DNA. That's why we don't have as many strands of DNA that we're supposed to have. But a lot of it, even now, you know, the government is experimenting with DNA, trying to use animal DNA, you know, with mixed with human beings, DNA.
That's
cool. It's almost like they're trying to make an island of Dr. Moreau again.
Oh, exactly.
Wow.
Yeah, and see, that was freaking creepy, you hear me? Like, just to see a movie like that where you have so many people that have been trapped on an island, but they're part animals and, you know, don't like living that way, but have no other choice because of a sick-minded doctor. And that could rightly be so, because, you know, you have these scientists and these people, they probably steal the medical equipment, take it home, and, you know, to try and be leaders of their field and do their own side experiments. You see movies about it all the time, and that's how, you know, certain mishaps happen, and they let them free in the world. Yeah, that is a really good topic that you just brought up, because, you know, it can easily happen where they're in a lab and just screwing around with some stuff and unleash it by mistake. And you wonder if you just saw a dog run past, but ultimately it can be part human.
Yeah. Well, not only that, but back even at the time of Egypt, you know, when they were worshiping, you know, gods and goddesses that were part animal and part people. So this is all something, you know, that they've been, you know, experimenting, you know, even back in that time.
With the Garden of Eden, were they?
Well, no, this is back in the early times of Egypt, you know, where they were worshiping, you know, idols, you know, that were part animal and part human being. Again,
oh,
that's what they're...
That's right. Yeah, you're absolutely right. Osiris and you know, Nefertiti, and they did.
Yeah.
They had idols. What do you think about the pyramids and, you know, crop circles and you know, things like that that they can't replicate today, even though supposedly we're smarter than they were then. I mean, and we have the technology to actually move the bricks, and they didn't have it then. You know, I mean, don't that kind of prove that someone was here before us? Kind of like we're over in other universes right now experimenting.
I mean, there's even been hieroglyphs of, you know, of spaceships, you know, that's landed and different, you know, people or, you know, that were dressed up in spacesuits, you know, ETs, you know, that they came in contact with. And that's, you know, interesting because, you know, where did they get this technology? Well, I'm sure, you know, they received that from the ETs or the ETs taught them how to do things with their mind, you know.
Yeah, it's a bit odd because everything I've ever, I know the mind is powerful. Everything I've ever thought of, I've gotten it.
Yeah.
And I believe that the people that are hopeless, you know, I mean, the people that are hopeless are pretty much the people that, you know, don't know that the power is within their minds because, even in the Bible, it says that the Father, the Son, and the Spirit is one. It says that He is within us, and we have the power. You know, we're all members of His body. And to get, that's why, prayer and meditation works in groups, even in witchcraft. You know, it works by unity. It works by getting in a circle and grabbing each other's hands and thinking the same thoughts. You know, or seances and things like that. You know, a weird thing is that Anton LaVey, he was kind of creepy. I don't know if you guys know about him.
Say that name again.
Anton LaVey.
I've heard that name. Well, what did he do?
This guy was the creator of the Satanic Church, the Satanic rituals.
Okay, yeah, I know.
Yeah, the things of that nature. Like, he was actually, he got a lot of people in the entertainment industry, very rich people, Marilyn Manson, for one, into this Satanic Church. It's controversial of whether or not on his deathbed he had apologized and said he had did something terribly wrong and wanted to be forgiven by God, you know. But ultimately, it's possible he was possessed. And he was an Aries, too, which is weird because I don't really know a lot of male Aries that, you know, really did take to God and crossing paths with them or whatnot. They were always kind of angry and, you know, just like hopeless. Not really hopeless, but just like rebels. And he was an Aries, Anton LaVey. And, you know, I don't know, it's just really creepy that someone felt driven to create something like that.
Yeah, I don't know. You know, makes you wonder, too, if they're even of the human being race. By that I mean is there were a lot of, you know, whether it be a reptilian not human, you know, they could have a human body but not be human.
That's interesting.
But that's, you know, it's all interesting. You know, we do know that, you know, these people, you know, makes you wonder. But I'm just about ready to lose you. We're just about out of time. We're off the air.
Why?
But, I want to thank you for joining us tonight. And we're looking forward to...
It's my pleasure. Thank you so much. It's always a pleasure.
Talking to you again.
Yeah, absolutely. I definitely look forward to the next episode.
You have a great night.
Okay, you guys do the same. Good night.
Namaste.